From the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in the heart of Mobile today. We are broadcasting live today, though. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Coach. I'm glad to be here this morning with you, and I hope you're feeling well.
It's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning here. Our buddy Randy Bergen is probably teeing it off right now.
On the links.
On the links in a big golf tournament, supporting a very worthy cause down in Foley. So he's representing PSR and Southern Fairways today. And we're here with, I think, the best producer in the business. Steve is, he keeps us rolling. And I tell you right now, it's always good to know that you ain't got to worry about being on the air. It reminds me of, I don't know, 24, 25 years ago, Terry Curtis and I were assigned a job to broadcast a UMS Wright. He was a head coach at, I guess he was at Shaw at the time. And we were assigned the task to broadcast a UMS Wright B.B. Comer game with your old buddy Bobby Overton.
Bobby Overton.
Yeah. And we got up there and set everything up. And we still didn't know if we were on the air. But with Steve Stanley, you don't ever have to worry about that.
That's right.
So we sure do appreciate that. I hope you've had a good week. I know you got a great report from a doctor.
Yeah. I got to see Dr. Peterson and Dr. Robichaud this week. And it looks like everything they did for me in the hospital has worked. And heart rate is normal. Blood pressure is good.
Man,
and so, you know, good Lord takes care of us. Kind of gives us a wake-up call every now and then, but he took care of me again, and I appreciate those doctors and nurses and all the folks who had a hand in helping me get better.
Well, and that's always it's a relief. It is a relief, and so that's an answer to prayer from a lot of people, Mark, and we're certainly glad to know that you got that kind of report. I got tickled at you when you told me about your blood pressure. You said it is just about as perfect can get.
Yep.
That's a great thing. Like I said, Randy is representing PSR and Southern Fairways today, playing in a charity fun golf tournament at in Foley at Glen Lakes Golf Course, and excited for all that's going on down there for a very worthy cause. And you know, it'll be you and Randy next Sunday as I'll be at Glacier National Park. In
Good
Montana.
For you, man. I'm jealous.
We're excited about that. So summer gives us a chance to do a little bit of that. And Tracy's out doing a mission. She's on a mission work with her sisters and on an Indian reservation. So, boy, I'm telling you, I've talked to her a couple of times, and she was cutting grass and slinging blades.
Good for her.
It's good stuff. You know, I know coaches around the state of Alabama. I get comments all the time from them. I want you to be in prayer for one of our buddies, Jimmy Perry, former St. Paul's head coach here, former St. James head coach, former Robert E. Lee head coach in Montgomery. He's having some medical issues, and hope that you will remember Jimmy in prayer. And he's certainly a dear friend of both of ours, but at the same time, he's just done a remarkable job in changing children's lives throughout his career.
Yeah, he has always been a guy you can – pick up the phone and call and talk to, just to, you know, any question I've ever had that I needed some guidance on, I'd call Jimmy and he'd be more than happy to help. And, you know, you talk to guys that he's coached before.
Yeah.
And they say the same thing. So I can still call my coach and ask him about something, and doesn't he have to do anything with football.
Yeah, I get tickled every time I get a chance to be around Spence and Jimmy Perry, dear close friends. And they got some stories about how one could get on the other one, and then, boy, they'd go eat.
They had it rolling at Robert E. Lee for a while.
They sure did have it rolling, I'm telling you, they did. Let's kind of set the show up today at 8:15. Clay's going to be on with us talking about some issues in youth baseball. This is the time of year We got a lot of baseball going on, travel baseball and so on and so forth. And he's right in the middle of all of that over in the Atlanta area over at East Cobb. And just wanted to get him on for a lot of reasons, just to have him on, first of all, and second of all, to talk about a passion of his, which is youth baseball, and we'll talk to him about that. Then we'll have the leadership segment at 8:45, and then at 9 o'clock we're going to start our Legends series. And the Legends series is something we've been doing here, I guess, for 10, 11 years. And we're going to kick that off with Steve Bailey, who is was just inducted into the Alabama High School Athletic Association, of course, former head football coach at Jeff Davis, athletic director there as well, and also a member. He's the guy that started that Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Football Coaches Associations.
He was the president of
president
it. And
of
then
it.
He became the director, actually. He was the director after Ken Blankenship stepped down. He took over after Ken had it. And but he has led to some other things. He did a lot of things with things in the high school athletic directors and coaches associations and expanded that to where it became the largest contingency or largest membership in the United States out of the state of Alabama for coaches, memberships into the Athletic Directors and Coaches Association.
Well, he had a storied career. He really did, and we look forward to spending about 45 minutes with him, three segments with him, and as we kick off the Legend Series here on Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. And then we'll close out the show today with the Camp Grace segment with Mark doing that. Things that have been going on around the state of Alabama, Tim Miller. Tim Miller is a head girls basketball coach at Hazel Green High School. He won 7 state championships in a row. And I always had a problem with that because they don't have competitive balance in the public schools. And hopefully, and that's what we're going to talk about in the leadership segment today, Mark. We're going to talk about some of the issues that, you know, hopefully will be resolved by the central board about non-compliant transfers. So we're going to get your take on that. But Tim is retired at Hazel Green. He's taken the athletic director's job at St. John Paul II up in the Huntsville area.
Right.
That'll be a big change for him, won't it?
It will be. Get him out. He's going to get out of the competition realm of things and get into more of an administrative type post there. But he's not having to move anywhere.
Right.
He just kind of rides down the road a little bit to his new school, but he'll do a great job there as athletic director, as he's done it such a great job as basketball coach at Hazel Green.
And then, friend, Adam Weingarten is in the news again. Adam, of course, worked on the staff of Coach Parker at Troy for a couple of years, and now he's got back in the head coaching job. He's taking a job that I really think is one of the toughest jobs in the state of Alabama. He's taking the Albertville football job.
Albertville's a town that it hasn't really grown a lot, but it's always been real steady all these years as far as growth or population in Albertville. They've not had a consistent winning tradition there. They have had times where they've been pretty good, but Adam is a guy who will bring a lot of different ideas and a different way of doing things to Albertville, and I think they'll fall in love with him.
Yeah, he's an innovator, to say the least. He sure is that. And then last coach I want to mention is Chad Eads. Chad Eads was a head football coach at Gardendale right outside of Birmingham, stepped away because he just got frustrated with all the transfers, and just a heck of a football coach and even better guy. He took the athletic director's job or an assistant athletic director's job for the county, and now he's gotten back into coaching up at Hayden, and we need people like Chad Eads in high school football. Just a good, good guy, and we certainly are glad that he's back in it. The American Christian baseball player who helped lead his team to the state championship over St. Paul's, Eric Hines, is the Gatorade Baseball Player of the Year for the state of Alabama. And our old buddy I get tickled at this. Our old buddy Paul Benefield just keeps on ticking like a fine clock, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He's I think he's only second or third maybe behind Danny Horn and Terry in the most wins in a career. So,
and I don't see him stopping anytime soon.
No.
So he's going to add a bunch more. Yeah. They got it going on at Fife.
And they just they do it from the, what, 7th, 8th grade up all the way through. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk to Clay. I always love talking to my son, but we're going to talk a little bit about youth baseball and some of the things going on with that. Right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
You know, Mark, I get tickled when that that song comes on. Steely Dan talking about your picture. Randy always says he sees yours in the post office. I don't see any pictures in the post office anymore.
No, there's not any in the post office, at least not at your eye level. They're probably going to be down where Randy can see them and I can see them. We keep them kind of low there.
I'm not going to get into that with Clay, with Clay, because I imagine he had to chase some of those people.
He probably did.
Were in those,
he did.
In those poster pictures. Clay Cleveland, good morning, and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, pal.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Hey, before we get started, just want to say, Mark, so glad to hear that you're doing better. Been in a lot of thoughts and prayers. So just wanted to start off by saying that. Also, one other thing, you know, I know it's something you're passionate about and I'm passionate about too, are these AED machines. And recently we did an inventory on our campus and we've got 14 AED machines and we're able to partner with a Rotary Club and we're getting 6 brand new ones to kind of phase out some of our old ones and ultimately have about 20 to 25 on our campus. So
Clay, I can't tell you how proud of that I am, man. I'm just telling you, that is one of my, I am very passionate about. In fact, I met with one of my doctors yesterday and we're going to start a thing coming in the next few months, helping to raise money to put AEDs anywhere people need them. And that's just kind of what we're going to do. So, man, that's 14, and you're getting 6 new ones. That's fantastic, pal.
Yeah, we're really proud of that, man. And it's just one of those things that you've got to constantly stay up to date and make sure that your kids are protected and your faculty is protected. And they've got to be everywhere. It's long overdue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for your prayers, buddy. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Boy, that's good news to hear that.
I mean, no kidding.
When he gets something on his mind, he presses it. I'm glad to hear that, Clay. Clay, let's talk a little bit about youth baseball and travel baseball as it relates to high school baseball and maybe even to baseball in general at the next level and the next level. You've got some passions about travel baseball and where we got away from community baseball. Kind of give us a lead in to some things that are on your heart about that.
Yeah, I think we're really failing our communities at the rec ball level. I mean, rec ball is almost dead up here in the area I'm in, and I'm kind of seeing it across the board. You know, I'm passionate about rec ball because that's where I learned the fundamentals of baseball. I carried things that I learned from Eddie Boyette and Coach Phil and Jim all the way into the minor leagues. And I don't see that anymore. You know, coaching JV baseball where I'm at, I see guys coming in and they don't know the game, the basic fundamentals of the game. And that's just a testament to how far we've gone astray on this. Everybody's so focused on showcases and travel ball. And listen, I know that has a place, but I think we've gone away from development and we're so focused on exposure. And when I tell parents when they come and ask me, what can I do? I said, if you're good, they will find you. If they can find me where I was at a HBU first year Division I with no practice facilities, no nothing, they can find you. That's their job, is to find you. And I just think that parents and kids, they get so caught up on the name that's on front of the sweatshirt, on the front of the jersey. I tell them all the time, go play where you can play. And it just saddens me to see that the rec ball leagues, like I said earlier, they're dying. We're not teaching. We're not pouring into these kids. We're worried about getting into tournaments and winning these rings and these trophies. And that has a place later in life. But when did we stop pouring into the kids and developing these kids just simply for the love of the game? It doesn't matter at 8, 9, 10, 11, even up to 13, 14. It doesn't matter if you're winning tournaments. Are you passing on the passion and the love for the game and teaching the fundamentals? And I see that we're not doing a good job of that across the board.
You know, Clay, anytime there's a problem, what I've learned over the years, and I think Mark and I have talked about this, is if I see a problem and I voice that problem, I've got to have a solution. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you think we can do to change that which needs to be changed.
That's a tough question, because I think it all boils down to the parents. Like, what's the parent's priority? Is the priority to try to get a scholarship, or is the priority trying to help facilitate your child's love of something? Like, what are we doing? Why are we spending all this money and traveling all over the country every summer when we could take a fraction of that money and pour it into our rec leagues? You know, something so simple as, let's build up our youth programs, our Babe Ruth programs, which are almost non-existent anymore.
Yeah.
Let's take a fraction of that money and invest it into our local communities and stop spending this money going all over the country. And it really is a waste of money. You know, I had always been kind of opposed to travel ball. And last summer, I had an opportunity to coach a 16U summer travel ball team for a good friend of mine. And I went into it with an open mind, open heart, because I wanted to see if I was wrong. And at the conclusion of that summer, it kind of reaffirmed my thoughts on it. We're not developing. Parents are just worried about the playing time, the exposure, and there's no development. And here's the sad truth of it. These college scouts are not going to East Cobb or Lake Point anymore. They're just not. In the 35 games we played last summer, I encountered less than five college coaches. What these coaches are doing, and I even had a conversation about this with who I think is the best high school baseball coach in America, Mike Powers. These coaches are sitting on their computer the day the transfer portal opens, and that's where they're getting their guys. They're not getting guys out of high school anymore. They're just not. And I hate that for these high school guys. I mean, we've got a catcher at Kings Ridge Christian School who's the second-rated catcher in the state of Georgia. Great first baseman. Not as good as I was. I'm just kidding. And he's going into his senior year, and 4 years ago, this guy would have already been signed. That's just not the reality. It's a changing landscape. And we can get more into that, but back to your initial question, we've got to shift our focus back to the local community rec ball. That's where it's built. That's where you learn the game. And then we've got to find moms and dads that want to volunteer, that want to spend that time. And that ties into, you know, what culture are we building? Are we arguing with umpires? Are we yelling at kids? That's not what it's about. We're there for them to build their love of the game and to build up the community.
Well, and you make a great point there about for the love of the game, because I think some children are, and I hate to use the word pressured, Mark, but I think they're pressured to play every weekend, you know, and just play on your travel team as opposed to the, you know, the local Little League team, which I don't even know if we have local Little League anymore. I don't even know. Is that something that you're familiar with, Mark?
Do they still have it? I know they have it in Fairhope in the park. Fairhope has opening day still back in March. And to me, that was always one of my favorite times of the year was the opening day at the baseball park
right.
in Fairhope. I get to go out there, and my kids were playing there. But you get to walk around the park and see all these different age groups
yeah.
of kids playing in their community.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a big thing. We're losing a sense of community in our country, and that's what Clay's talking about. We're losing a sense of community there, and we're losing a sense of what we're really doing, because if all you want is exposure, you can get exposure. Just yeah. go, you know, but are you really getting better? Are you mm-hmm. building yourself up? Are you getting to a place where I can become the best ball player I can be with guys who know me,
yeah.
who can help train me? I think we've lost some of that, and I think Clay's on the right track here, because I think Little League baseball is what I grew up on. My kids grew up on it. You know, they loved it. They still yeah. talk about it. In fact, the guy Brooks's group that he roomed with in college, they all played on the Little League teams together or against one another in the same league
right.
and played high school ball together, roomed together in college, and still hang out together. There's a big part of life in that.
All right, Clay, we're fixing to go to a break. When we come back, we'll expose some more of this stuff and talk a little bit more about it. But, I appreciate your passion for it, because it's something that is real. You're listening to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, and the Boudreaux communication lines are wide open at 251-343-0106, right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Boy, I hate to cut Michael McDonald off.
Especially when he's cranking it up.
Man, I'm telling you. Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and I'm talking to Clay Cleveland about youth baseball. And, Clay, I'm going to give you the other side of that, and I'm going to give you the other side of it coming from a nationwide survey that and I've spent a little time this week working on that. And, you know, this is the problem with community baseball. You know, it's not enough. It's not enough to practice twice a week and to play one doubleheader on Saturday, and then you don't do anything outside of the game in some of these communities. I'm not talking about the community you grew up in, nor am I talking about Atlanta, Cummings, Alpharetta, that area. But in many places, the reason youth baseball has died is because the kids don't get enough. My question to you is, what is enough?
You know, I think it's different for everybody, right? Like, yeah. I can remember, I think growing up, I may have gone to one or two showcases in the youth age or some things here or there, but the majority of my time was spent with you on the field, taking fungos, taking 1,000 ground balls a week.
Yeah.
But that's different, right? Like, yeah. every kid has that point of, where it becomes, you know, to a certain point, you love doing it, and then at that 999th ground ball, you don't enjoy doing it anymore.
Right.
And I think that's up to each parent and each kid to figure out, hey, where does it end? You spend the time in it that you want to spend in it. As long as it's constructive, the kid loves being out there, then you go until the kid doesn't love being out there.
Right.
It's different for everybody. I would encourage people, you know, stop traveling. Stop doing all these things. Go to your local high school, middle school, rec ball facility, and just work on the fundamentals. Go have a dad Sunday, a dad-daughter day, a mom Sunday, and just spend time on the field and make it fun. And that builds the love of it, and that grows your relationship with your child. I mean, for me, I've got a 13-year-old son who's been begging me to do travel ball for the last 3 years, and we don't do it. We just go to the park, or we set up the hitting net. And when he's done and he's not enjoying it anymore, we stop. It's not that big of a deal. And I think it all kind of comes from the parents of the parents want to see their kids fulfill their parents' dreams. And that's the problem. It's got to be the kids' passion. It's got to be the kids' dream. Listen, for me, I achieved my dreams and goals. I don't need my son or my daughter to fulfill any of that. And I think that's where we get it. You know, there's too much pressure. Like for us in the summer is a downtime. We don't do anything. We're going to spend time as a family. If he wants to go to the park, we'll go to the park, but that's not our central focus.
Yeah.
It's a balance, and that's up for each and every parent and child to determine.
Well, and the question there is, and I'll get this question this week, I promise you, said, did you do too much with your child? Do parents do too much that they wear them out? And that's the question is, are the kids that are, well, that are raised like you were, do they get so much of it at a young age, all the fundamental stuff, all of that, do they just get tired of doing it? It doesn't excite them anymore.
Some of them do. And the harsh reality of it is, if they get too much of it, then they don't love it.
Right.
And for me, I can only speak to me. I could never get enough of it. I loved it. It's the only thing I wanted to do. And it's okay if it's not. And that's the process that weeds the kids out. And that's not a negative, but that's just not their passion in life. And we have that with anything. I mean, fine arts, dance, swimming. If the kids have had enough, they've had enough.
Yeah. You know, we've built a youth sports culture really based on convenience and optics. You know, kids show up, they wear the gear, they take the team picture, they play the game, hope they do well, and then they go home. See, there's no development that way. And confidence doesn't grow with kids that way. And kids sure as heck don't stick with a sport when they're not getting better, right?
No, they don't. If they're not getting better, if they're not seeing progress being made, they give up on it. And that goes back to the coach.
Yep.
You know, when I coached rec league, when I had time, some of the less talented players, you got to pour into them. You got to give them extra work, give them extra opportunities. You've got to identify each kid, and you've got to treat them on an individual basis. That's a tough thing to do. It's one of the hardest things to do in coaching. You see it at the JV level, at the varsity level. It's not a one size fits all.
Yeah.
I don't know how you solve it. I really don't. I just know that I'm very alarmed and have been for years at the kind of death of rec baseball.
Yeah.
It's the only way I can put it. I don't know the answer.
You have an opportunity where you're at to coach several former major league players, former Braves players' sons. What do you see in their development? How have they got to? How have they gotten to whatever point they are? And I don't know what point they are. How have they gotten there? And I know you've probably had discussions with those dads that played in the show. Talk a little bit about what you see from those children.
Well, those kids are a little different. They've been afforded some things that 99% of kids aren't afforded.
True.
They've been able to be in the clubhouse. They've been able to be in the environment. They've been able to kind of see what it takes and the work that it takes. There's a kid, Nick Markakis' son, and I'm sorry for name dropping. If Nick ever hears this, he'll be really mad at me. But he's got a son on varsity and a son on JV. And the first day I ever coached him, I knew they had it. They know the game. They know what it means to be a professional. They have the work ethic. they understand it's going to take 1,000 reps here, 1,000 reps there. They just carry themselves differently, and it rubs off on their teammates. Yeah. It's such a blessing to have those kids, but it's really teaching the kids the basics and teaching them what it means to be a professional. And you don't have to be a big leaguer to be a professional. You can be the worst player on your JV team, but still be a professional. I was listening to Chipper Jones the other day, and he said, you know, the difference between amateurs and professionals is amateurs practice to get it right. Professionals practice to never get it wrong. And that's kind of the mentality we have at Kings Ridge Christian School. We're going to come in, do our work, and we're in and out in two and a half hours.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just a different – when you see those kids, you know there's something different. But yeah. And that's okay. But for the other kids, you don't have to be that way. That's our job as coaches to get you there. And I think that's where we've lost it, is that coaches are so focused on, ooh, who are my best nine? Who are my best two or three guys? Let me showcase them. No, pour into the 18, 25 kids you got on the roster and treat them the same. Work them hard, love them even harder.
You know, Clay, I think one of the greatest ways to develop is to fail. The failures teach us a lot more than the successes if you take it the right way. Talk just, and we got about a minute and a half here. Talk a little bit about failure and hoping that keeps their appetite at a high level.
Yeah. I mean, baseball is a game of failure. You fail 7 out of 10 times, you're in the Hall of Fame. And it's okay to fail. But how are you failing? Right? Like, are you doing the same things over and over? If you are, then that's a totally different problem. But if you're making adjustments, you're working at your craft, and you're trying to change things, and you're still failing, that's okay. We'll get there. It's a direct correlation with life. Like, life is going to punch you in the face 1,000 times. How are you going to respond? And you can kind of see it. When it clicks for the kids, that's the greatest reward you can have in coaching. Yeah. And you've seen it in football, especially coaching me, reaching that outside block or hitting that inside pitch or taking that two-strike slider. Like, if you're failing, that's okay. But let's not fail at the same thing over and over. And that becomes the job of the coach.
Yeah. Well, you know, Clay, you've hit some pretty you've hit some hot spots, and it's always great to hear where you are, having grown up around somebody that, you know, pretty much put a lot of pressure on him. It really did.
Well, pressure makes diamonds. I don't know if I got to be a diamond, but it was good for me. But every kid's different. And let me say this before we go, because I know we're running out of time. And I want the parents to hear this. Don't worry about having to go to a big school. The best baseball in the United States is at the junior college level. You have draft and follow kids. That means you're drafted out of high school. They follow you. In 1 year, you're eligible to go to the draft. It's the best pitching, some of the best players. You look in that panhandle of Florida right next to you guys. Some of those junior colleges could play with the SEC right now today.
That's true, man.
That is the best baseball in America. Put your kids in junior college. Let them get their core classes knocked out. It'll save you some money, too, parents.
Yep.
But it's great baseball, and go where you can play every day and not sit on the bench.
Exactly. Wow. That's good music right there. Clay, thanks a bunch, buddy. I love you. Take good
right,
care of all
you.
My
love
take
you
care, buddy.
Take care of my grandchildren. I mean that.
I will. I'm doing it right now.
I love you, buddy. Take care. God
all right,
bless.
You too. All right.
All right. When we return to the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report, we'll have our leadership segment. You're going to love what Mark's got to say there, right here on the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
JoJo's got his gun. I think of Randy every time we hear this song. He wouldn't mean to. He loves to get on me about this song.
Yeah, he does.
I hope he didn't just shank one off the tee.
Hope not.
All right, welcome back. Boz Skaggs brings us back. This leadership segment is brought to you by Go Pest. And if you have any problems with any rodents, insects, anything around your home, give our friends at Go Pest a call. They are fantastic. I've got a neighbor that uses Go Pest and constantly is telling me how much she appreciates the job that they do and how efficient they are in their work. So Go Pest, and they will get rid of your pest. I can promise you that. You know, in our leadership segment, one of the things that we've got going on in the state of Alabama is a task force, a transfer task force. And I kind of wanted to get Mark's take on these because there's some things that I think are really, really important. We got lots of transfers, Mark. I want to give you some numbers. I think I might have given you this sheet. But in 7A football this past year, we had 457 total transfers. 457. Three schools. We only got 32 schools. This is 10% of all 7A schools. Three schools had 30 or more transfers. Seven schools had between 20 and 29 transfers. Four schools had 10 or more transfers. Three schools had five or more transfers in boys basketball. So when you add those numbers up, 14, more than half of the schools, 17 of the 32 schools had multiple transfers. Now, let me say this. Talking to Jed Kennedy last week. Were you here when we talked to Jed?
Yeah, I was.
Jed was explicit when he said, transfer is not a bad word. Transfer can be a very positive word. When you think about kids are forced to transfer because their parents get a job, a better job, they have to relocate. Those are compliant transfers. What we're talking about is non-compliant transfers where a kid that lives in Childersburg or, well, let's use some other area. Let's use Hazel Green. A kid in Hazel Green decides that he wants to go to school. He's a junior. He's not getting any better in a certain sport. And he wants to transfer to Butler High School in Huntsville. Just drive there every day. That's happening, Mark. That's happening all over the state of Alabama. That's a non-compliant transfer because his parents did not make a bona fide move to move into that community. And I certainly don't know of any instances where a child from Hazel Green, it's all fictitious, we're making it up to explain
sure.
the point.
Yeah.
What can we do about that, Mark? And we're searching every way that we can to prevent that from happening. I think there's only one way to prevent it. I think you have to punish the school that accepts a non-compliant transfer. And that's the only answer to it, I believe. And, you know, tell me your feelings on this.
There's so many different things going on that it's so hard for the High School Athletic Association to figure out who's telling the truth, who's not. I mean, because you get all these different things going on for kids – lives in one school district and is going to school at another. And that's, to me, that's an easy fix. That kid's ineligible. The school who accepted him gets fined. And that kid has got to either stay there at that school, maybe he's eligible in a year, or he goes back to the school that he came from, but he can't play anymore. And the school gets fined for it. But until we enforce that kind of thing, we're not going to stop it. But now we've got even more things going on where people are, you know, they're at one school, and then the next thing you know, they've changed their address.
Right.
Okay. And they, well, somebody's got to go check that address, and somebody's got to check the house that they came from. And it's almost to the point, you know, there's ways around everything. You can rent out the house that you were living in, but you got to clean it out first.
Yep.
You have to empty it out first. And there, I mean, it's almost to the point now where, you're going to have to come up with more and more regulations, I think, about how you can leave one school and go to another, and you don't play until this is rectified or checked by whoever it is, whether it be the county or city compliance officer, whoever that is.
Yeah.
Until that's done, they're not playing. You know, and I don't think there's, I mean, I don't know of any other way to do it, you know, because, you know, parents, you know, and there's, and the problem is the ones who do the transfer correctly are, to me, in some ways, almost, you feel bad for them because people who are not doing transfers correctly make them look bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anybody who, I mean, it's just, it's gotten wrong and it's out of hand, and there's too many people talking to kids or and standing and sitting in church talking to a parent going, hey, you ought to come on, take a look at what we're doing at our school, or we're just doing this or whatever. And that's just folks talking. Next thing you know, somebody shows up at their school. Well, at that point, the school needs to contact the school they were coming from and said, look, little Johnny's over here looking at our school. Just want to let you know.
Well, and you know, it used to be when we had someone who was moving in, say, if I'm at Daphne and you're at Fairhope, and if I have a child that comes from Fairhope and wants to go to school at Daphne, I pick up the phone and call the head football coach there. We don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches aren't doing that. And that's integrity to me.
A lot of times, you know, the parent or the child will ask the coach, say, hey, please, I don't want my school to know because we may not move. And I really don't want them. I don't want to get in trouble back at my school or whatever, you know. And so they ask them not to do it. And the coach doesn't, you know. Or it could be that, you know, that becomes law. You know, we make that a proposal and said, if you walk into our school or you call me about coming to our school, I'm going to contact your school and let them know.
What is this rule now that when a kid transfers in, he's not eligible to play on a varsity team? What is that?
If he doesn't make a bona fide move.
Right.
Or whatever. Or if he's coming from, you know, used to, if it came to middle school.
Right.
They had to sit out a year.
Right.
They don't have to do that anymore. They can just come right in and
do you
and
like play. That rule?
Well, yes and no. You know, sometimes if they're going to move, if a family's not happy, it could be that they left, let's say, Spanish Ford High School because they didn't like the philosophy of the administration of the school.
Right.
Had nothing to do with sports.
Right.
And they just came over and they wanted to play football. Well, I want him to be able to play in middle school so he can go ahead and get started. They may not be able to leave their home and come over here. And,
right.
You know, they may not be able to. So I think there's some of those are good, you know, but and they can do it in high school too, but they can they play JV games but can't play varsity games. But again, I think we've kind of gone to that route and made it easier for people to transfer.
Well,
which I'm not sure is a good thing.
Well, and we're going to talk more about that throughout the summer. It's going to be an open discussion, and you know, that's something that we'll let parents get involved with if they'd like. All right, you listen to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. When we return, we got the Legend Series will begin with Steve Bailey, just recently inducted into the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen should be on probably, what do you think, Mark? Hole five or six by this time?
Probably two under.
You know, the summers have been really kind to us here at PSR over really for 25 years, but in the last 10 years or so, what we've done is we've done a Legend Series, and Legend Series is one that kind of highlights those that have retired from coaching and have certainly made a mark not only in the coaching profession but in the human being profession. And I don't know anyone that exemplifies those characteristics any better than the gentleman that we've got today to kind of lead off our Legend Series here at PSR, and it is Steve Bailey from Montgomery, Alabama. And we'll get through just about everything that he did, but I want to tell you a little bit about Steve. He grew up in Montgomery County, attended Montgomery County Schools, and spent his entire life in education working with Montgomery County school system. Most of the time, he had a brief soiree, I think, in the private schools for a while. But he graduated from Steve graduated from Robert E. Lee High School in Montgomery and AUM, Auburn University Montgomery, and he was just recently inducted into the Alabama High School Sports Hall of Fame. Steve Bailey, welcome to PSR, Rick and Mark, and we're awfully glad to have you this morning, pal.
Thank you, sir. Good morning to you guys. How's everything down there in South Alabama?
Man, it's just rocking and rolling, Steve. It's good to hear your voice, buddy. I hadn't seen you in a while, and I'd love to see you maybe this summer and catch up a little bit, see how you're doing.
Same here, Mark. I was just thinking about all of this, and, you know, you're the one that really broke me in to the Coaches Association when I first started, and you know, I listened to a lot of your wisdom when I first got started in this thing.
I don't know about all that wisdom, but you listen to me a lot, I know.
You know, Steve, talk just a little bit about how you got the, I don't know what the word is, but what got you to the point where you said, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to be a high school coach.
Well, you know, I talked a lot about this in the induction ceremony, but there's so many people that come into your life that really direct the things that you do, and I'm a big believer in that. And Jim Tooley was at Robert E. Lee High School when I was in high school, and he was my offensive line coach, and he basically, his daily demeanor, which was that of a Christian example, high character and morals. And I watched that for 3 years at Robert E. Lee, and I thought to myself, you know, I want to get in coaching, and I want to be able to do the things that he showed me.
You know, Jim was one of those guys who every time I saw Jim while he was coaching, and then when he moved into the AD's role, he was always the same. It was always a handshake and a smile. How are you doing? And that demeanor that you're talking about is something that I think that it impressed you, and I think it has impressed other young kids and young coaches throughout our careers. And Steve, I saw that in you as I got to know you in the early 2000s more and more as we worked together. But I saw the same type thing in you and saw you bring those things to the table. Tell us a little bit about your background and your faith to put you in that place where you knew what you wanted to do when you came out of school and you knew the role you wanted to follow and how you did it.
Well, you know, it all starts with your parents. And everybody keeps asking the question, what's wrong in today's world? And in my personal opinion, it's the collapse of the family unit. Yep. And I was very fortunate to have two parents that loved me, took me to church. It wasn't a discussion about church. You was going.
Right. That's right.
And so, in fact, I had a conversation the other night with a good friend of mine. He sent me a text, and he says, I'm reading my Bible. And he said, I'm doing it late at night. And he said, your dad taught me that. And I'm going, what in the world are you talking about? Well, Dad had told him a story that, you know, Dad, he refereed basketball and football. And he would come in late at night, and not to be denied in reading his Bible, he would lay in the bed while my mother was asleep with a flashlight and read his Bible. And he told that story. And so that lasted with a lot of people that he had a mentorship over through the years. And I responded, I said, he also late at night when his check got cashed on Friday, he would put his tithe on his dresser as the first thing that came out of his check,
awesome.
Along with stacking quarters for our lunch money.
Man,
that's
good.
Else, isn't
that's
it?
Good stuff. That is good stuff right there. And I'm going to say this about his dad. I don't think I ever got a hit off of him. His dad was we all played softball back in the day, and your dad was a pitcher on an opposing team, and such a nice, nice man. And he could kind of smile at you and know, I got your number, buddy.
Yeah, very competitive person.
Well, one of the finest men that I think I ever competed against. Most of us were young idiots. And I don't say that lightly, but he was a shining star among a bunch of us that were young and thought we were good and weren't worth a hoot, to be honest with you. But you did something a little that I didn't even know this. After you graduated, after you had coached at Capitol Heights while you were still at AUM, you took the head coaching job at St. James.
I did. That was my first high school job.
Talk a little bit about that, because you were raw. I mean, you were just young and raw, and heck, you went 5-5 in a – that's pretty good, I think.
I still had snot running out of my nose. So young. You know, I was approached about that job. I was at Capitol Heights Middle School is what it's called now, and when I was approached about it, I thought, you know, this is my first opportunity to get in high school. I'm going to jump all over it. I didn't know a thing, and I'm getting over there, jumping into all that stuff and learning as I go along. And then I got to the point where I thought, you know, you just made this decision and you let go a retirement plan and all this stuff. And I started thinking, you know, you might want to start thinking about your family a little bit more. So I made the decision at the end of that year to get back into public school. And I'll never forget walking into Clinton Carter's office and basically begging for a job. And he just grinned at me and said, I knew you'd be back. And, the funny thing about it, when he called me, you know, to get back in the system, he says, come on down here. I got you a job to get back in. And I walk in his office, and he's smiling, and he's so nice. And I said, Mr. Carter, thank you so much. And I turned around and started to walk out the door. And he says, Coach, by the way, I turned around and he said, don't ever do that again. He said, or you won't be back.
That's right.
Well, and you landed in a pretty good place. You moved to Jeff Davis High School, where you were working with another Hall of Famer, Charles Lee. And that particular year, and we only got about a minute here, and we're going to carry it over to the next segment too, but that was your first year at Jeff Davis. Y'all won the state championship in 96?
No, I actually started at Jeff Davis in 1990.
Okay.
When I got back into the system, I landed at Cloverdale Middle School.
Okay, Bobby Eskew and those guys. Skip
no,
Wolf?
No, Bobby had actually had gone. Bruce Fulmer was the head coach
over there.
And, lasted 1 year, and at the end of that spring is when Bubba Lewis announced his retirement.
Right.
And then I went and applied for that job. And we'll talk a whole lot about Charles in your next segment.
Oh, we all look forward to that. Guy that we all love. And I love his dry humor. I love Charles Lee's dry humor. He can make you 7 feet tall or a foot tall.
Oh, yeah.
Real easy.
And he did that several times.
Well, as we wait for the music to play, we'll see if we're going to get out of here. But that had to be – how did that feel for you? Well, we can't. We'll get to, that'll be the first question. You're listening to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And we are talking to Steve Bailey, recently inducted into the AHSAA Hall of Fame. And we – look forward to sharing some more of his life story right here on the Legend Series on PSR.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I don't know who threw that music in there. It must have been Randy. Steve, I know you didn't have anything to do with it. Our producer, Steve Stanley, didn't. No, I'm kidding.
I like a little Eagles now.
I know that. I know that.
I like that song about Winslow, Arizona. That's my favorite. What was that called?
Now you're putting Steve Stanley.
I know.
Stanley
watch me. I'll think of it in a minute.
And I want to tell you this segment's presented by our good friends at Premier Collision, Mark, and you have been the beneficiary of a lot of great work that Chris and those guys have done, as all of us have been. But we certainly appreciate everything that Premier Collision does. If you have a problem, give Chris a call Monday through Friday, 251-477-4500, I believe, and that's it. You know it by heart, don't you, buddy?
Take it easy is the song.
Take it easy is the
take
song.
Take it easy.
That's
okay.
Right.
You hear that radio voice?
I do. He's got
take
it, doesn't he?
Take it easy. That's good stuff. So we're talking to Steve Bailey, and Steve is he's the leadoff. He's hitting in the one hole on our Legend Series this year. And Steve, of course, is a graduate of Robert E. Lee High School. I loved what he said about Jimmy Tooley. I used to see Jim Tooley sitting up on the top of the bleachers at Crampton Bowl, and they'd have their whole staff, defensive staff up there, and I guess the offensive coordinator, whomever, and they'd be working their fannies off.
They were.
I'm telling you, it was always always neat, and I'm sure Steve's got a lot of stories on that too. But
yeah.
But so you take the job at Jeff Davis. Talk just a little bit about your relationship with Charles Lee, who we just think the world of here.
Well, there again, you're traveling down this road of life, and people that come into your life and make a difference. And Charles Lee, you know, about that time, I'm coaching middle school, and I'm starting to think I know a little bit about football. And then Charles most graciously gives me my first opportunity to really coach in big-time high school football with that hire. So, you know, indebted to him. I owe my high school coaching career to Charles due to all of that, because he taught me the game of football when I got over there. I will never forget one of the first weeks we were in two-a-days. And by the way, these folks don't know what two-a-days are. Now, we were 2 weeks of them.
That's
when
exactly
I first started
right.
over there.
Exactly right.
And we're out there in the first couple of practices, and we're running a little old scrimmage, and there's a play run, and you know, I'm kind of standing there, new guy. I'm not saying a whole lot like I should be. And Charles just stops everything, and he goes, "Well, if you're not going to coach him, I guess I'm going to have to." And I thought, Lord, what has happened? Who did something wrong? You know, and he points it out. So after that, every single play, somebody
yes,
got coached.
That's right.
Whether they did something right or wrong. So, but he taught me that. And, you know, like I said, the game of football. And then Charles, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but Charles was actually grooming me, I think, to take over at Jeff Davis High School down the road. And we came to a point offensively where we went transition from the I formation to the wing T. And one summer he says, "I want you to go research the wing T." And so I go to all his clinics, go to the Delaware clinics and all that kind of stuff. And
Tubby Raymond's.
Come back. And he says, "I want you to meet me down here at the beach house." And said, "We're going to spend the weekend, bring your wife, and they can go do what they do, and we're going to talk football." He said, "I want you to teach me the wing tee." So, you know, we spent the weekend doing that. And of course, from there, our first year, we learned a lot about the offense. And then came 1995, we made it to the state championship. We got beat by 1 point in that game. And then in 96, we won the state championship in the wing tee offense. So, you know, that was a big starting point. Well, then here comes something that was a shock here. The very next, even before this, probably a year or two before the championship, we're messing around here on a Friday afternoon before a ball game, and Charles walks into the coach's office and throws papers down on my desk, and he says, "By the way, you're calling the plays tonight." And I said, "Do what?" And he said, "Yeah, you're calling them." And I'm going, you know, my throat here, I can't even swallow when he tells me that. And from that point on, he made me the offensive coordinator, you know, and then we went on to win those championships.
Yeah.
You know, just unbelievable, the teaching that he did for me.
So when he stepped down as head coach, I think it's after the 2003 season, you did. You stepped down and you took – well, let's go back. You took over as head coach – what, in 98, right?
98, that's
okay.
Correct.
And then in 02, you were 11-3 in the finals, as you said. Talk just a little bit about your staff. And did you have to – when Charles stepped down, were there openings that you had to fill, and what direction did you go with that?
Well, most of the people were still on staff. Some of them had been volunteer coaches for 10 years, and that's another thing you don't see a whole lot of anymore. Some of those guys worked 10, 15 years at $100 a month.
Gosh.
And they taxed that.
Gosh.
You know, you wasn't getting hardly anything. So a lot of those guys, I moved up into paid positions. One particular guy that had been with me for years and years through middle school and was also helping at Jeff Davis was Dwayne McWhirter.
Yep.
And Dwayne just recently retired from coaching. He'd been out at Macon East and been in it, you know, over 40 years. And
yep.
Just such a good person and good football coach. And so we went through all that together. You know, and I didn't realize at the time, talking about going back to Charles, he started taking me to all these district meetings. And all these, and I'm sitting there going, Charles, I want to go home. I don't want to ride down to Selma to a district meeting. He goes, no, I need you to go with me. And I didn't realize it at the time, but he was grooming me to be the head coach and teaching me all those athletic director things. It's a whole different ball game. But I think probably the most interesting statement he ever made to me, he said, you know the difference between being a head coach and AB and an assistant coach, don't you? And I said, no, sir, what is it? He said, you know, every time that phone rings, he said, when you're an assistant, it ain't for you. He said, when you're the AB and head coach, it's 99% of the time for you.
That's right.
That's good stuff.
You know, Coach, when you took over the head coaching job in 98, taking over, you know, following a guy like Charles Lee and wanting to put your own stamp on the program, but at the same time carry on the traditions that have been so successful under Coach Lee. How did you go about doing that in those first years and able to transition into your style of being a head coach as opposed to that of Coach Lee?
Well, you know, if you're smart, you don't try to fix things that's not broke. And Charles had and Jeff Davis, Billy Livens, the whole shebang over there. Jeff Davis had been established well before I got there. And I was just hoping and praying that I could continue the tradition and keep things going the way they were, you know, the pride of wearing that jersey. Charles, again, taught me about organization and just being organized and what you did every single day. And my practice organizations I would do down to the second out there, like a lot of people do, you know. And I didn't have all these horns or anything like that blowing or music playing, but,
right.
You know, I would blow a whistle and we would run from drill to drill and things like that. And, you know, just trying to carry on what had been. And you know, Jeff Davis, you know, that tradition was well established before I got there.
Well, and I was telling Mark off the air, you just can't imagine how competitive Montgomery was during those days. Now I go back to 1977 with Jeff Davis. I did my student teaching there and never taught a class. All I did was hit softballs. That's all I did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
pitch
it.
To Billy Evans.
That's right. And pitch to Billy. That's exactly. And pigtails and Bobby Wilson.
Yep.
Yeah. But, it's one of the most amazing schools ever that I can ever remember, even today after 46 years of coaching, because it seemed like every coach at Jeff Davis was on the same page.
Yes.
And I used to think that was as a result of Billy and Charles and it was just such a—and Charlie Williamson. It was yes. such a tight-knit group, and, you know, there were disagreements. But when they walked out, buddy, they were on the same page, and they went about it that way. So I think you were in just a great school. When we come back from the break here in a minute, I want to talk about after you retired, Dan Washburn gave you a call. Let's talk about that call when we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Talking to Steve Bailey.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
I love being introduced as Randy Bergen. Makes me feel a little bit smaller, but a little bit, boy, I got a better golf swing. All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're starting our Legend Series today, and Steve Bailey, former head coach and athletic director at Jeff Davis High School in Montgomery, Alabama, is our guest today. And Coach, we can't go any further unless you give your biggest supporter and her adieus there, because she has been a tremendous, tremendous force and head coach in your personal life. We always like to recognize those ladies, because your wife has certainly been right by your side in every move that you've made and really probably every decision you've made.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think, well, I don't think I know, because if I think, I'd be in trouble. we are coming up on anniversary number 47 here in November. And, of course, love of my life, ain't no doubt. Yep. And any and everything that I am and was or is to come has been because of her. I tell everybody, you know, when you're in the coaching business, your wife raises your family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I spent most of my time trying to raise other people's kids and stuff like that, and loved every minute of it. But I felt a lot of times when I retired that, you know, goodness, you may have neglected your own kids. But she surely has done that and is the queen of all queens. And, you know, and no doubt I'm a lucky person.
Yeah, you are that. You are that. When we left, we were talking about your retirement from Jeff Davis, and in 2005, you got a phone call from the AHSAA Executive Director, Dan Washburn. Talk about that.
Well, there had been several times before that call that I would go in there for eligibility issues and so forth, and, you know, I had told Mr. Washburn, I said, Mr. Washburn, I said, if anything ever comes open down here at the association, I said, I'd kind of be interested in doing that toward the latter part of my career. And so one day that phone rang, and it was when Dr. Kim Blankenship, and that's a whole nother ball game right there, mentorship. And he was moving on, and Mr. Washburn called and said, you know, there's going to be an opening here if you want to apply for it. And so I did, and was graciously hired into that position as a part-time Coaches Association director at that time. And so I moved over across the street to the elementary school and started teaching PE over there, and they graciously would let me do bus duty in the mornings and move my planning period to the afternoon so I could leave there and go to the high school association and transition, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then when Steve Savarese was hired and Mr. Washburn retired, he graciously hired me on as the first full-time director there. But both those men, just true mentors and people that I love to death. You know, Mr. Washburn had a demeanor where, you know, he just would let you do your job, and if you made a mistake, he'd say you might want to change that next time. But the key with him, though, if that face ever got red, you better look out. but just a true gentleman, love him to death. And then Coach Savarese, you know, one of the most organized people, and made life-changing decisions at the association that bettered it down the road. And then, you know, you know how he was. He's a person that was so organized that you were going to meet just to find out if he was going to meet.
That's right.
I love him to death. He was a great mentor to me and gave me a great opportunity.
You know, Coach, the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association is, you know, everybody always hears about the AHSAA, and a lot of folks don't really know what the High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association is about. But while you were there, that became one of the largest associations in the United States as far as coaches membership. And tell us a little bit about some of the things that took place while you were there and what y'all did. I noticed y'all, you know, I was there when you started the sportsmanship program, the coaches education program. I was even a part of that and got my CAA in that. Tell us a little bit about some of those things that y'all started.
Well, the membership during that time was well over 9,000. So it was obviously very huge, but, you know, the coaching cards made a big difference in there, you know, to help the coaches as far as getting them, their families into to games and so forth. And like I said, we developed a sportsmanship manual for the schools during that time that we sent out and gave almost any kind of situation was in that manual that would help you along those lines. Then we established a coaches scholarship fund there that I just saw the other day on my email that we would give out to 10 different students that parents were coaches. So anything to help them. And like you were mentioning, we had the coaches education programs that worked well for athletic directors and, you know, to further that. And then we developed an athletic director conference. They call it, I forgot what they call it now, but it involves principals too. But we established it initially as just an athletic director's conference. And I mean, we would have speakers on how to organize a game night procedure, just things that got down to the nitty gritty on that. We developed the coaches mini clinic series there at the association where every sport, we would bring a speaker in during the off seasons and give coaches just another chance at education. Goodness, it was just so much that we were involved with and maintaining relationships. But, you know, you can't talk about all that without talking about the many people behind the scenes that were so involved with that. And I bring up, first of all, my secretary was Eula Milner during that time.
Yes.
I'm sure y'all remember her. She's deceased now. But first day I walked into there, you know, Eula handed me a big old notebook that was about 4 inches thick. And I said, Eula, what is this? And she said, that's your daily itineraries for the entire year. And it was mapped out. And I'd walk in the morning and she'd hand me a stack of papers, say, sign these, I'm mailing them out.
That's funny.
But then another gentleman, guys, and y'all are going, this may make you tear up here, but Bob Pannone. Bob Pannone was just an unbelievable person that you could pick up the phone and say, Bob, I need help during this, and he's right there. Bob and I spent just countless hours with Sports Week and other events, Alabama, Mississippi, and, you know, the first thing I said when Bob finally decided he was going to quit doing it, I said, y'all, I don't know how we're going to do it or what category. I said, but Bob needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But just a true gentleman, and I loved him to death, and couldn't have done half what I did without him.
Certainly a good man, and it does put – it's a warm place in both of our hearts, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And I know it is. I know it is for you, Steve. And we did – have the occasion to know how Bob felt about you, because he certainly echoed how we feel about you. Steve, you know, the thing that impresses me the most is your godly approach to every situation you've been faced with. And, you know, not only as a coach and an administrator, but as a human being, even today, as you're retired, Tell the folks what you do on a daily basis now.
Well, you know, when I retired, I just kind of prayed and I said, you know, Lord, give me some kind of mission, you know, to do in these latter years of your life. And I was given the opportunity to work now currently at the Montgomery Cancer Center. Wow. And, you know, all I do now is I get people out of cars. You know, I've gone from being the head of a coaches association and a head football coach. And the toughest duty I've got is walking out the door with a wheelchair to help somebody out of a car. So not a lot of thinking to all of that. But what a blessing it Absolutely. Is to go out there and to have an elderly person or somebody that's going through treatments to smile through the window when you walk out the door, you know.
Well, Steve, I want to tell you how much Mark and I, but I know more than us, much more than us, our listeners appreciate who you are and the way you've lived life and the way you continue to live life on a daily basis. Thank you so much for taking time out of a retirement Saturday where your wife has just had surgery and you're doing all the things that need to be done at home. And, you know, you're just a blessing to all of us that know you. Not only as just a tremendous football coach, but a great Christian leader, always active in your church, and so thankful for everything that you've done and all of your contributions. And I know that your phone is always available, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people that stay in touch with you for a lot of different reasons. But we thank you here at Prep Sports Report for spending time with us this Saturday morning, pal.
Well, you're quite welcome. Love both you guys, and thanks for reminding me. I now got to go wash the dishes.
Steve Bailey.
Thank you, buddy. Great Thank hearing you so, your voice, pal.
Yes, sir. It is.
Take care, guys.
Yes, sir.
Take care, Steve. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're talking about a wonderful, wonderful man and a wonderful, wonderful, not only football coach, but administrator. Steve Bailey certainly was and will continue to be that for as long as he's alive.
That's Anytime I was working in Montgomery during those years when he was there, yeah. I'd pick up the phone. Steve, I need to see you. But it was always, come right on in. And yeah. We would sit and talk about whatever it was that I needed to talk to him about. And just, he's just one of those people that always made you feel better.
I want to welcome a new sponsor to our show today. Integrity Roofing and Contracting, LLC. Phone number 251-604-6835. The website is integrityroofpros.com. Retired teacher and coach Dale Falkenberry is the owner of this roofing company. He's been in business 19 years. They were a Nappy finalist this year for the best roofing contractors in Mobile. Call Integrity for all of your roofing needs, new construction or replacement shingles, metal and tile roofing. And, boy, I think the world of this lady. She was a tennis coach at Murphy for many, many years. And she has just done a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job in every aspect of her life. And as a Christ-centered businesswoman, highly recommend Integrity Roofing and Contracting. You won't find a kinder, sweeter, more professional lady in any business than Dale Falkenberry. When we return, the Camp Grace segment with Mark Lassiter right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
I'm going to continue on with a little bit about Coach Bailey, and I'm going to put into this grace segment is kind of what I wanted to talk about today was what is our true role as coaches? What are we really – when I talk about this, I know a good bit off and on throughout the year, but I don't think it can be talked about enough. But here's a little story that I thought we would read. This is a story that went into his Hall of Fame about him being inducted in the Hall of Fame. The story goes back to, I think it was around 2000 and, 2001. former assistant coach by the name of Ross Reed, who I think is now an assistant principal at Auburn Junior High School. Anyway, Ross joined Bailey's coaching staff at Jeff Davis in 2001. In 2002, Coach Ross's life was in crisis mode. He explained that they were having some problems at school, things that were just happening with the program. This was when all the coaches were having, were just going through a crisis. They were probably going to have a pretty well, a relatively average football team that year. When August practice came around, within a matter of days, the team was hit with several blows that impacted players and coaches. On the first day of practice, we learned that the brother of one of our players had drowned while our player was at practice. A couple of days later, one of our coaches was diagnosed with cancer. A few days after that, the parents of one of our coaches had a heart attack on the same day. Yet it didn't end there. Another coach was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Then it became even more personal for Coach Reed. In October, Coach Reed said, "My wife gave birth to twins. Our son weighed 2 pounds and our daughter weighed just 1 pound, 11 ounces. To say the least, it was a dire situation for my family." That's when we truly noticed how much Coach Bailey cared about his coaching family. Coach Bailey made himself available to spend time with each of the families. He genuinely cared and showed concern, Reed added. He had compassion for those of us in need. He always wanted us to know what he could do to help. He reminded us often that was truly that what was truly important to him, be with your family. Football can wait. Reed summed it up best. Through all this adversity, Coach Bailey coached his players, and all the time, not only did he coach us about football, but about life. His godly approach was something that we all admired. Amazingly, that same season, Bailey's football team finished 11-3, reached the Class 6A state championship game, avenging an early loss to Prattville with a semifinal win over the Lions. Hoover finally won the state championship 39-29. The Vols, however, had learned plenty about winning in the game of life. And as I read that and listen to what that is, it's just another reminder of what our job is as coaches. Dan Washburn said he is so important to the development of the All-Star Sports Week in the High School Athletic Association Summer Conference and brought it to into a showcase for our high school coaches and administrators and student athletes, said Coach Washburn. It has now become a premier event in the state of Alabama. He was a tireless worker, strong administrator who taken keen attention to detail. His example is what all our coaches needed to try and emulate. Proud to see him recognized for his many contributions. So as I read those stories and I read these things that are said, the underlying thing that you keep seeing and I keep reading about people that like Steve Bailey, who have the right mindset of helping their coaches and helping the players and their families in times of need on a daily basis, whatever they need to do to help them be better people and or better their lives in some way, shape, or form, is taught by the coach in these instances and not about actual coaching the game of football or basketball or baseball or whatever the sport may be, but helping them understand that through coaching a sport, through adversity in a sport or through adversity in their lives, they can really find what is important. And it was like I was listening to Coach Bailey talk about what was important to him. Was important to him is said by Coach Reed, that most important thing he taught those kids that year in 2002 was the year that they were to teach about learning the values in life and how to handle the tough times, the good times, how to handle those. Because those are the things that will mark your character. They'll mark your character for the rest of your life. And I just want to thank Coach Bailey and all those coaches who follow in that realm, who understand that wins and losses, sure, they're important, but it's not the only thing. the win and losses of a kid's life or a young coach's or an older coach's life is just as important.
You know, Mark, that's Steve Bailey. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with that. I got a text message earlier today from one of our friends. There's a coach and his wife at Mortimer Jordan High School right outside of Birmingham. And I want to try to find that if I can. And it asked this. So I'm going to read it to you. I don't like to read, but I want to read this in the last minute. It said, please add Stephen Manning and, more importantly, his daughter Lily, 10 years old, to the prayer list. Stephen is the head softball coach at Mortimer Jordan High School, right outside of Birmingham. Tuesday, his daughter Lily was taken in because she was having bad headaches and taken back to Children's on Wednesday because the meds were not touching it. They did a CT scan and discovered she had some more problems, and that was Thursday. She went straight into surgery. They did what they needed to do to help with the drainage. They discovered another tumor. She has since had more surgeries because of clotting. And we ask you to pray for Coach and his wife, Sam, from Mortimer Jordan High School. I'm sure it's a devastating thing, but we hope that you'll pray for the Mannings and their young daughter, Lily, who's going through some real medical issues. And we know here at PSR the wonder of, you know, a lot of times the only doctor that can cure us
right.
is our master. So be with those folks. Steve Bailey is such an amazing man. He's such a talented man in so many ways. He talked about coaches that were organized. You're talking about a guy that's organized. Steve yeah. Bailey may be one of the most organized guys. He reminds me of Stape in some ways. You know, David Stapleton, if you look at his desk, every pen is organized, every pencil. One of the most fun things we ever did was just
mess up his desk. Absolutely.
And so,
that was a daily occurrence.
Yeah, but Coach Bailey is certainly the epitome of organization, did a wonderful job in every aspect.
No doubt.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, thank you folks for being a part of our show today. Mark and Randy will take it next Saturday. In the meantime, stay tuned for Southern Fairways. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place next week.